Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to 2021. This year, the theme on our platform is positive action. The information I provide is designed to equip and empower parents and caregivers to take at least one conscious, focused, positive action today toward helping your child shift from nonverbal communication into unprompted spoken language. There's no time like now to make the necessary changes you need to see the success that you want for the late talker in your life. So let's get started. Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Thank you so much for joining me again. This one's going to be really helpful for you if you have a late talker in your life, and also if you have caregivers who care for your late talker, because these strategies today are all about facilitating speech during mealtime. And you, as well as the people who care for your child, always have mealtime, right? I have 6 strategies that I'm going to talk about with you. But this gives you the opportunity mealtime to facilitate language every single day. It's important that you don't just do part-time language facilitation. If you're trying to change your child's communication habits from behaviors into speech, then you're definitely going to want to work with these behaviors every single day, because your communication habits are your standard, your go-to. Habits are habits for a reason. You're stuck in them because they are useful for you. And that's what these kids do, late talkers. They get stuck in these nonverbal communication patterns. So language facilitation is all about turning communication patterns that you see into spoken language. And the best way to do that is to have a real good connection with your child. I call it the language facilitation zone, where you always know you're facilitating a lot of joint attention. You may have heard that term before. And moving into connecting with your child and sharing experiences together. And the reason that I decided to focus on mealtime is because this seems to be one of those times that happens often in families where a disconnect starts to happen over time, especially with kids who are late talking. Let me explain it to you. So the answer, or the question here, is could you be missing the opportunity to teach your child to talk because you're propping a image in front of them, a video in front of them, and their eyes are straight on that, not even on you. And whatever that child is thinking about is not even necessarily what's in their mouth. Look, it made them happy, and this child wanted to call your attention to the screen, the mom's attention. But she's just, her job right now is getting food into the child. So the child's focus is not on the food at all. It's on the image. The child's not even completely chewing their food in this circumstance. So you can see how that's a real clear indication of a disconnect that happens during mealtime when parents are looking at mealtime as a job to get through, kind of like a daycare provider or a childcare provider may look at, we've got to get the baby fed, right, as a job to get through, instead of using it as an opportunity to facilitate spoken language. So that's what I'm hoping for here. All right, so as you're joining me live or on the replay, your questions are certainly welcome, so you'll go ahead and post them in the comment section. And this is also a great time for you to like this video and consider sharing it with your Facebook groups or MeWe groups or wherever you are, and you are, you know, sharing resources with our families, because these strategies are going to be super helpful for you, and they help me with my channel. All right, so let's get into these strategies. Let's get into all of what I'm talking about here, 1 through 6. And the first strategy that I want you to think about is replacing that visual entertainment, that video that you've got them propped with instrumental music that you play in the background. And the reason that this helps facilitate spoken language is because everyone's mood elevates. Mood and connection. Music helps build connection because you're all listening to the same things. Look, she's pulling them up out of bed, out of the chair, because they're all listening to the same thing. And she's encouraging interaction with him, okay? This isn't helping the food get eaten, but it is, it's sort of an extravagant way to get extra connection during mealtime. But even if you're sitting at the table, right, joint attention is facilitated naturally because you're all listening to the same thing, not child focused on child thing, okay? And the music rhythm helps develop neurological language systems. I've talked a lot of times about how music is connected. Neurologically, the music pathways are connected closely to the language development pathways neurologically in the brain. And listening to instrumental music in the background, not loud, but soft. It doesn't have to be a dance party every meal. I'm talking about having music in the background because if your child is used to watching something while they eat, instead of that something, you're replacing that something with what you're hearing in the background. And then the last thing about this, the last little tip I just want to show you, is that instrumental music allows you to make up the words you need to actually share the ideas about the food. So maybe the song is Baby Shark, and you're talking about eating your food, and it's an instrumental version of Baby Shark. I mean, that's kind of an extreme version, but, you know, eat your food, yum, yum, yum. And if there's a Baby Shark or a Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes, or even popular songs that you love with the music's playing and the lyrics going, you're going to be tempted to want to sing along with the music when it's in the background. But if it's an instrumental version of that, you will also be tempted to sing along, but it will still be your words. And it offers you to change a version. So you can get Muzak version of things, or you can just listen to instrumental music that is not related to words at all. And that will help your child divert, give their brain a little entertainment while they still are listening to you talk about what you're doing, which is eating and prepping food, okay? So the number one strategy, one more time real quick, is to replace visual entertainment with instrumental music. All right, now let's move into the next one. I'm going to switch it right now into number 2, where you're going to involve your child in the meal prep. And so what you need to do here is to discuss the menu, right? So even if your child is nonverbal and too young to help you with cooking, you want to involve them in the meal prep. So here's this mom with a baby. You're going to discuss the menu. I'm making a salad. Here's your spoon. Teach your child about the cooking equipment and tools. And her little girl does not care about the cooking, but she's kind of fascinated about that spoon right now. So the mom is talking to her about the spoon while she's cooking. Older kids who will be interested in that cooking process, they'll want to see you put on a show. This is when you pretend you're like a YouTube video. If they're not cooking with you or participating with you, able to, too young, they're not interested, whatever, that's how you get them more interested, is by putting on the show. Look at mom. Mom is making chocolate milk. I'm going to squish the milk in. Like, make the noise, right? Do all the things that would get your child interested in watching the environment before you do it. And then as you get them involved, your job is going to be give them super easy jobs that they are going to find super easy and super fun, like squishing the chocolate in the chocolate milk, or stirring or mixing or dumping one cup of water in that you already measure out. Super easy and super fun. And then the other part is to thank your child for helping you with the cooking, because it's important that you let them know you are motivated for them to initiate repeated engagement during this time. You cook and prepare food all day long, every day. If you want to get more engagement with your child, show them that you want it during these times. Not, mom is cooking, go do something else. Right? This is massive amounts of time in your house, depending on how much your family eats, how big you are, how much you like to cook. If cooking is your thing, especially if you love to cook, right? Then you definitely are going to be great at putting on a show and showing your child how fun cooking is and all the demonstration that you're doing. That is going to replace that behavior of I cook, you go wait, and dinner arrives at a certain time to you're involved in the process. So now you've got two ways so far to get better engagement. Number one, your child's paying attention to you because they're not watching a video either while you're cooking or during the meal. And you are enjoying the process of getting the meal prepared together, right? And talking about all of that. Talk about how much you love cooking. That's going to be really important. Okay, let's move on to the third strategy that I have about this. Number three is to set up your meal, okay? The eating part of the meal. Set the meal up for conversation. So number one, assign places at the table for everybody, just like you would at a dinner party, right? Mommy sits here, daddy sits here, I sit here, all of those things. Make sure everybody knows that everybody's going to sit where you're going to sit. And turn the music down. So if you had loud music while you were cooking because it was enjoyable and you were dancing around the kitchen like before, during the meal is when you turn that instrumental music down. Your child may still be expecting to have that during the eating time, so you'll want to have it in the background. Put it quietly, far away, where the speaker's far away, so that it's easy to hear people talking over the top of it. And then before the meal, just like I did in this video, this guy, he's making sure that everybody's got their drink, right? And there's another guy back there holding the baby talking about, ooh, we're going to eat this stuff. You want to try one of these? This meal's good. Everybody's got their drinks. Everybody's getting ready. When you talk about the drinks, that's something consistently. You might drink the same thing every day, and that helps pull the child together. And then the last one is about these table decorations. Table decorations spark ideas to talk about. So that's why when you go to a dinner party, right, there is a table centerpiece. And it might be related to the holiday or the theme of the party. Why is that? Because the hostess, who is you if you're cooking, or host if you're the cook, you are the one who wants to engage conversation at the dinner table. And if there's nothing else to talk about, the weather or whatever, you can talk about what you see in front of you. And of course, it is a standard party guest etiquette to appreciate the effort that the host went to putting together this table. So you want to do that. If you put together a table setting, or even it doesn't have to be anything special for a holiday. Holidays are easy because you can put a snowman on the table and talk about how now we're having a snowman meal. You can put a dinosaur on the table and now we're having a dinosaur meal. It's a dinosaur themed dinner, if that's what your child loves, or a train, or, you know, whatever, little decorations or things that are right there on the table for you to talk about. You don't have to play with them. You could, if it's something that, you know, you need to have time with. Think about your restaurant time when you're at the table and you have to wait for food. What do? You have a little something for your child to play with, and you talk about this thing. So this strategy will also work at a restaurant. Where are you sitting? Right when you walk in, you do this, right? Mommy's sitting here, daddy's sitting here. You might not be going to a lot of restaurants, but you could pretend this at your house. Play restaurant for older kids. This is going to be a wonderful opportunity for you to play at this. And then you can have the same meals over and over and over again, right? So it can be real meal time and pretend play time. The strategy is, let me show you one more time so you see it. It's to set up the meal for conversation. All right. Moving into the next strategy, number four, is to plan to eat with your child, okay? So you are gonna wanna use this time over and over every single day, 3 times a day, 8 times a day, because there's meals and snacks and whenever you eat with your child. You wanna use this child to connect, this time to connect. So plan to eat with your child. Don't plan your meals otherwise. Even if this mom right here, this mom is just having coffee. She doesn't even have a whole meal because maybe she doesn't eat the same as her other kids or whatever, but she is sitting at the table with everybody while they're eating. And that's what's really important because kids need to see. I'm going to play this one more time. Kids need to see how you eat. They need to watch you using utensils if they're not using utensils. Like this little girl is watching her dad do it. Even though his brother's eating with his hands, you know, everybody's doing different. And it's you need to show your child how important it is for you to be eating. If they never see you eat, then how do they know that eating food is important, right? You don't do it. Why is it important for me? They need to see you eating. And you need to model the eating behavior you want to see. If you want your kiddos to be sitting at the table eating, that's what you have to do too, right? If you want them to be using utensils, you have to use utensils too. If it's okay to use your fingers, show them how to use their fingers if you want them to eat that way. If you normally eat with your hands, like a lot of Indian food, you normally eat with your hands or chopsticks or any other way that you eat, show your child how that works. You had to learn as a kiddo, modeling instead of hand over hand. That's going to really help you, and talk about it. Use your hand like this. Grab the bowl like this. Exactly what you do. And then what you're going to do here is you're going to provide the entertainment. If you are sitting at the table with your child, then you are going to be able to provide the entertainment they need to keep them there. Where you used to have a video keeping them there, or literally keeping them there so you would get food in. And if your child is refusing to eat food, okay, there are reasons that that happens. Refusing to eat food is a number one control issue that children will use. Many parents will think that it is has to do with their gut. It may start that way, but typically if it persists over a period of time, if it comes and goes and comes and goes, then it probably is gut related, digestion related. But if your child decides overnight that they don't want to eat a certain thing that they've been eating forever, or they change how they're eating, they used to chew their food, well, no, they don't anymore, there are things going on in behavior that kids will do. Because, and think about it from this perspective, if you've stopped your child from doing any behavior at the dinner table, throwing food, pocketing food in their mouth, spitting it out, whatever, right? If you are like, ooh, I don't want to see that, and negative reinforcing, don't do, stop, do all that stuff. Remember, with a late talker, they're going to be just as motivated by the attention that behavior gets as they are a positive behavior. So it's very important that you eat with your child and you show them how eating looks, how it sounds, how it's supposed to be, what you use, all of that stuff. You must demonstrate over and over. Feeding your child and then expecting them to eat on their own does not transition without joint family mealtime. Now, you don't have to eat every meal with your child, but you should be eating at least one, if not one plus a snack or one plus breakfast. I mean, at least 2 times you should be sitting down to eat with your child, because you may eat a lot more than 2 times, even if it is time to grab a snack in mid-afternoon between jobs at work and it's a 5-minute deal. That counts as a mealtime. And you can use these strategies in those little moments too. It doesn't have to be scheduled morning, noon, and night. Mealtime is any time there's food going on. And you can model how it works when you have a snack with your child too. So that's where that goes. All right. Moving into the next strategy, we've done number 4. Moving into number 5 is to talk about your entire dining experience, okay? So when you watch these little girls, they're doing a lot. One of cutting food, one's chewing a whole, but she's got her mouth full of food. And then she's got liquid she's trying to drink. She can't even drink it because her mouth is so full of food, right? There's a lot going on here. A lot going on here. So the first thing, of course, I have here listed is to express gratitude for the food, because that's why we have it anyway. And the entire experience is, thank goodness we got it. We got it somehow. Some mom made it, our grandma made it, or we got it at the store, or we picked it out of the garden. Somehow that food got from the table into your onto your plate, and you should be expressing gratitude for that, because that's going to keep more of it coming, right? All right, and then the next thing, like I was just talking about, is you need to use lots of verbs to describe all the jobs of eating. Sister is cutting. She's using her knife. What a big girl. And you want to give compliments at the same time this is going on, or guidance. Whoa, your mouth has a lot of food. Maybe put your drink down until that food goes in your tummy. And if the child looks distressed, encourage them to spit it out. You know, okay, it's okay to spit out your food and put it on a blank, on a pocket or a napkin or whatever, right? You want to tell your kids what to do when they get stuck, like that little one did. What if their food falls off the plate? What if they spill their milk? What if all these things happen? That's the experience of the dining. Everything. You want to talk about everything. And it's not, again, about making sure the babies get fed. It is about using the experience of eating, getting nutrition, and sharing that experience together. That's going to help you facilitate speech during this period of time. Okay, let's make sure I got them all done. Discuss the food, and not just I'm eating, you know, pizza, you're eating whatever. Discuss the tastes, textures, and temperatures of the food, especially with older kid. Ooh, this one's hard to chew. It tastes sure. It feels chewy in my mouth. I have to really use my teeth to chew up this thing. Or, oh, that feels cold. Or, ooh, it's too hot. You have to blow. All of those things you have to talk about. And then you need to talk also about your feelings as you enjoy the meal together. Here's a holiday meal these kids are having. And so they're probably having special food that they don't normally get to eat. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good cook myself. And anytime I get extra special tasty food, I always take a minute to appreciate it, because I don't get it very often. In fact, I just joined on a meal service, and now I'm getting these meals. They're delicious, that are cooked, that other people are cooking, and it's a whole new experience for me, because I don't live with anybody. I haven't for decades lived with anybody who could cook besides my mother, and that was a long, long time ago. So yeah, I've been fixing food for a long time, and it gets in me and whatever, but now I just enjoy all of it more, because I can appreciate that someone put in effort here to make this meal, and I can taste love in it, and I know that that's what happens when you eat too. All right, let's move into the next strategy. So number 6 is to involve your child in the cleanup, okay? So first thing you usually do right after eating is saying, okay, we're all done eating, now you can go watch videos or play whatever. No. The first activity after eating is cleanup. So you want to guide that first activity. So what you do is you demonstrate to do with your dishes. If you want your child to put them in the sink, show your child, I'm all done eating, I'm gonna put my dishes in the sink, and we'll wash them later. Or let's wash them now. Sit right here with me. We have to get all the soup off this bowl. We have to get all the bread off the stuff, right? Now, you also want to model the cleanup jobs that your child can't do yet. So this little guy can't really clean. So mom's cleaned the bowl, and she just leave it with him. And there he is holding it, filling with water. Hold it there, fill it with water. And there she is washing dishes, and he dumps it out. And she's like, fill it up again. Put it in the dish. Get another bowl. Fill it up with water. You know, she's helping him out. And they just talking about what it is. So you want to model the jobs that your child can't do yet, of course. And then make cleanup just as as much fun as cooking and cleaning. A lot of people think, oh no, I don't want to do the dishes. Most kids love to play in water and they want to stay with you and be with you, especially if you just had a nice meal together. If you were enjoying the time, your child will want to stay with you and move on to the sink to wash the dishes, okay? But if it's just a matter of get the food in the kid, then they're going to want to get up and move somewhere else because their job is only to be there and be a food receptacle. Open wide. That's all their job is. Chew it up and put it in your tummy, and you're taking care of everything else. These strategies will take those responsibilities and give them to your child, just like I enjoy the food because somebody else gave it to me. Remind your child, here's the food I made for you. I made your favorite food. It tastes so yummy. It has all the things you wanted. It has fruit salad with watermelon and grapes and bananas, or your favorite a doll with the veggies you like and all the special fruits, and I made a special chutney because you like it to go with the doll. Tell your child what you did and go over that menu, right? Talk about everything that you did. All right, so let's see. I'm going to review, like, I want to just look one more time, make sure I got all of those. Yep, making cleanup just as fun. All right, so we've got through all those fives. Let's talk about them. This is all six ways in one slide, so you can go back in case you joined me late or you were watching on the replay and forwarded through. I know how people do that sometimes. It's okay. Look, here they are. Six ways to facilitate speech at mealtime. Number one, replace the visual entertainment videos, aka videos, or TV, TV's the same, with instrumental music. No need for a show during a meal. Absolutely zero need for a show or repeated videos. You should never have that. You are the entertainment, okay? And involve your child in the meal prep. That's number two. Number three, set up the meal for conversation with a centerpiece and assignments, just like a dinner party, okay? And eat with your child so that you can actually be the hostess of your dinner party right there at the meal. You're not the chef. You're not the waiter. You are the host or hostess. So eat with your child, right? And talk about the entire dining experience. Every single dining experience from snack time to family holiday meals with the whole 20 people. We won't be doing much of that lately, but any family meals you get together, that you know what I'm talking about, any entire family dining experiences, you want to talk about it, any exchange. And then make sure that you involve your child in the cleanup for the meal. Even if you have a snack, make sure that the wrappers get in the trash or the cup gets in the sink or, you know, whatever. They just had a little chocolate milk. Make sure the cup gets to where it's going, just with all of these processes. And if you're consistent with every single time you feed your child some food, you'll get additional language facilitation interaction going on. I know you will, because that's how all of this works. That's how all this works. So if you like these strategies, If you like the whole process of using your everyday activities like mealtime to facilitate language, and you want to learn how to do that, there are different ways to go about that. Number one, you can get my book. It's called If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun: Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. It's available on Amazon. You can also look on my YouTube channel. There are more than 350 videos. And if you put in the comments of this video, if you're still watching and you put in the comments of this video, what you're struggling with, I or my team will match you with a video if you can't find one. You can go to my channel and hit the little search thing and search for it. There's strategies about potty. There's strategies about puzzles, books, using outdoor play, using cleaning up your house. Lots and lots of different functional strategies. Even your morning routine. I've done a video about using your morning routine. These are the strategies that will help you facilitate language 2 to 3 hours every single day, okay? Think about it. Your child probably eats 2 to 3 hours every single day, especially if they're home with you. And school daycare, everywhere that your child is going to, mealtime, getting food into them is a big part of how they structure their day when they're teaching your child. So it's going to be super important for you to do the same if you are homeschooling. Mealtime is one of those key moments throughout your day. And now you have 6 strategies that you can use to help your child be successful and learn to understand and use a whole bunch of new spoken language during your mealtimes with these strategies. So if you want to know more, if you want specifically for me to teach you on your specific strategies at your particular house, then visit wavesofcommunication.com and book a call with me to learn exactly how I would do that. I'll tell you how I put it in the middle. Even if both parents are working from home full time and your kids are homeschooling full time, I can show you how to get 2 to 3 hours of additional language facilitation time where you will send your child back to school with better spoken language than they had when the lockdown began.
Thanks everybody for tuning in today. I hope this content has inspired you to create your own positive language facilitation action plan for this week. If you enjoyed this broadcast, you're in luck. There are tons of resources across our Waves of Communication platform, all designed to help you teach your child to talk. There are more than 350 free videos on our YouTube channel, a daily blog on Facebook with opportunities for live Q&A, my book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun, available on Amazon, and my coaching programs, including a free 90-minute introductory class. Learn about everything we do for language facilitators on our website, wavesofcommunication.com. If you benefited today, please consider subscribing to the channel and sharing the resource with others. This little exchange is free for you and really helps us grow the platform to reach more parents and caregivers around the world. I'll be back next week with more information and strategies to help you continue on your language facilitation journey. This is Marcy Melzer, intuitive speech and language pathologist, saying bye for now.